Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev.
Did you survive the heat wave?
Just about. Not very well, if I'm being honest, no.
Because last week we recorded just before the heat wave, and I just wanted to check in with you because you admitted this slightly bizarre, weird thing of putting tin foil around your house. And I wanted to check in how it went because I had a message from a friend of mine who was listening to the podcast who sent me a message and said, I do the tin foil thing as well. So you're not on your own with this madness.
A kindred spirit. I love it.
But now I want to know, because if it really works, I may adopt it and to hell with what the neighbours think. So do you think you had a cooler experience than the rest of us by tinfoiling up your house?
100% yes.
Really?
We know, because I have quit smoking. I'm a vapor, a vapist. But Mrs. Ben still
said it. Mate. Get yourself in all kinds of problems.
Mrs. Ben still has the filthy habit, so she was popping outside now and again for the odd one. And when she came back in, she
adding
would,
to more heat in the air. Thanks, terrible, thanks, Mrs. Ben.
And she would always comment on, yes, it is considerably cooler inside the house, and we do put that really down to the tin foil on the window. So I can recommend it. Your house will look like a meth lab, but it does work.
It's definitely a ploy I might use, certainly for the bedroom, because I think the bedroom needs to be the coolest. My bedroom was like, I mean, it literally was like an oven. I'm sure when I got into bed, there was like a sizzling noise as I laid down. And
like then, when you put bacon into a pan.
Yeah, it was very much like that. And then, you know, like when you cook bacon, there's quite a lot of liquid that comes out while you're cooking.
Yeah.
After about an hour in bed, that's what it was like. It was like the bed was like I'd just got a bucket of water and just thrown it over. It's a very attractive picture I'm painting of
Isn't my bedroom.
I mean, ladies, you know, if you want to know what goes on in the magic room, it's a filthy pigsty of sweat and skin. What goes on?
Dear God. I did have a bit of trouble because I was all right on the Monday when it was climbing. But then I had to go to work on the Tuesday because the Monday I had off, and on Tuesday I went into work, and I think I didn't go to a doctor or anything. I didn't waste any NHS time, but I'm pretty confident I had quite severe heat stroke.
Well, are you sure it was heat? Because they were doing a lot of things about how to look after yourself, how to survive the heat wave. And they were saying, see, heat stroke is a medical emergency. There's heat exhaustion, which is the more common sort of ailment.
Okay, I might have exaggerated then. Probably heat exhaustion, because I was walking around with, you know, heavy bags of stuff on me, and at one point, well, my legs went to jelly very quickly. That happened early in the day, and by the end of the day, I was having to take 10-15 minute breaks in between bags, and I started to retch, and
wow,
I was in a pretty bad way.
I think the moment you start to retch, there's a time to think, yeah, that's definitely heat exhaustion. I would say that ticks all the boxes of heat exhaustion. It might have been heat stroke. You might have almost reached the medical emergency stage, but you obviously didn't consider bothering the NHS.
No, curiously, they said, at 2 p.m. you can go home because that's when it gets, you know, a peak hot, which is coincidentally when my main part of my job finishes. I've done the difficult bit by that point. But the rest of the day, go home, don't worry about it, forget it. So I thought, so you're still going to be coming and do the hard bit in the blistering heat?
Yeah, of course.
Mrs. Ben was not impressed.
Was she not?
No, she was. She wanted to phone someone. And
was she building like tinfoil effigies of your bosses?
She was not happy with HQ. She wanted to phone in and complain.
Oh, I wish.
How dare you make your staff work in this heat?
Was she safe and well in all of the heat?
She was fine. I took good care of her. She was well tinfoiled. It's all fine.
Did you wrap her up like a sort of like a cocoon,
like a marathon runner? Just after she'd finished.
You're like a spider will wrap its prey in its web. I sort of picture you just, I'm off to work in a minute, love, and you've got like a long roll of tinfoil and just run round her, just wrapping layer and layer, just really tightly around her so she can't escape. She can't get out of it. You go, you'll be cool now, love, and I'll be back in 6 hours.
Bless her. She was so thoughtful to me as well. She sent me off to work with a cooler box filled with ice and stuff.
Marvellous.
And cold water drinks and some sort of spray to cool you down. Oh, she was very sweet.
When you got home, as you opened the door, did she just throw a bucket of cold water over you?
I don't think you should do that to really hot people. I think it can cause shock if you do that. Also, I do want to say thank you to all the handful of very nice people who I delivered to, who offered me cold drinks and water. That was very sweet.
That is nice. That's very nice indeed.
See, human kindness isn't quite dead yet.
No,
it's almost there.
There's a little bit of it somewhere, isn't there? A little bit of it. Did you put in, because one thing I read, which I did consider doing, and I have done this in the past, is put items of clothing in the freezer for a while.
That's going to last about 30 seconds, isn't it?
They were saying you should put your socks in the freezer.
How would you put your foot in a frozen sock?
Would they go hard? Would they go? Because they're not wet. There's no water to turn to ice on the sock. So surely they would just cool. They wouldn't actually freeze solid. I mean, you're thinking of like a sock that's turned into a boomerang. Tom and Jerry style.
Yeah, you're probably right. If without moisture, they probably wouldn't freeze too badly. But no, I don't think that would work. But basically, long story short, yes, I survived the heat wave, but only just.
Very good. I was watching the women's football. I'm not sure there was a game on the really hot days, but England definitely played, I think it was the Wednesday. And I thought, oh, I mean, I want to see the football, but should there come a time we go, well, let's not play football. I mean, it's ridiculous to be playing in that sort of thing. But then I suppose World Cups are played in hot places, aren't they?
Yeah. Isn't the next World Cup due to be played in sweltering 40-degree heat somewhere?
Yeah, although they're going to be in air-conditioned enclosed stadia, aren't they?
Are they really?
Yes. They're going to be in climate-controlled stadia because it's going to be ridiculously hot.
Well, that just makes sense, doesn't it? No one should be
running around. I think what makes sense is not holding a World Cup in Qatar through corrupt purposes. But, but yes, on a practical level, it makes all perfect sense to do that.
Yeah, I think so.
Have you been watching the women's football, by the way?
I haven't, but that isn't out of any sort of latent sexism or anything. That's just basically, I haven't really paid attention to football for a few years now. I got a little bit pissed off with the whole prima donna-y diving all over the place. It just wound me up, and I sort of fell out of love with it for a bit. And maybe I'll get back into it, but just I'm taking a break.
Well, let me tell you, right, because the Women's Euro 2022 has been fantastic from what I've seen for so many reasons. Right, so one, the football quality is superb. You know, those sort of old dinosaurs that go, man, it's not as good as the men's football, is it? It is. It's good. The quality is good. But here's the selling point. There's no, or very little from what I've seen, rolling about. There's no prima donna fake injuries. They get up and they get on with the game. It's very fast moving. There's not many bookings. There's very rarely people surrounding the referee. I think I've seen one player booked for dissent. But I tell you what I think is the crowning glory that the rest of the English game certainly needs to look at is when the England team are played. And at the start of the match when the national anthems have been played, no booing of the opposition's national anthem.
I mean, when did that become the norm that we do that?
I think it's always been there. And it seems to have got worse again in more recent years. And I think it's these knuckle-dragging dinosaurs that probably don't like women's football, who still go and they boo. And I just think, I don't know what it is. I've been trying to kind of look at the crowd makeup at the women's football. Certainly a lot more younger fans. I wouldn't even say there are more women fans. There's a lot of men in the crowd, but I don't know whether it's a more family-oriented thing. But I just think it was so refreshing, right? Because first women's game I watched, the national anthems were playing, and I was sort of bracing myself for the chorus of boos from the England fans, and there wasn't one. And I thought, how refreshing and wonderful is that? And I don't know how you get the message through to the men's game, because there's obviously a different attitude in the crowd, which is great to see.
That is great to see. And I wanted to check with you, because I was very curious about the integrity or the quality of the supporters who go to these games, because I saw something on TikTok And it might have just been a joke.
Right.
And I've decided I'd rather find out by talking to you rather than look it up myself. Because I... You know how some nasty people will throw objects at black players, for example?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And be horribly racist?
Yes.
I heard a report that during the Spain-England game that people were throwing dishwasher tabs at the women's teams.
Wow. Well, I...
That can't... Surely that can't be true.
Well, I watched the game and I didn't see it, and I don't recall it being mentioned by any reporters or commentators at the time. So if it was happening, it wasn't being reported and it wasn't being shown on the telly. But I'd be really disappointed if that has happened, because having just given a glowing report of the amazing behaviour of the crowd at women's football, you just said, actually, no, there are just as many wankers there. But why would you go and... I mean, that's the... why would you go and do that?
Yeah, but you could apply the same logic to the racists, but that still happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We are doing quite well from what I've seen.
At the time of recording, semi-finals tomorrow night. Hopefully we get through to the final, which is on Sunday, I think.
Right. And are you confident? Well, are you going to start saying it's coming home yet or not?
Well, we've played very, very well. Very well so far. But who knows? Who knows? I can't say that I've watched enough women's football to know enough about the other sides, how good they are. I think we should beat Sweden in the semis. I watched Sweden play the other night. They were pretty good, but I think we're better than Sweden.
Okay.
And then we'll either have to play Germany or France in the final. And I've seen both of them play. I think we can beat them. So yes, it's coming home, Ben.
Good stuff. Well, by the way, speaking of which, someone the other day, a Scouse fella who's a customer.
Hey.
No, don't do that. Hey. Trev, we were told on no uncertain terms we must never make Scouse jokes, apparently.
Oh, that's right, yeah. People you tell him to most, calm down. Calm down.
With the most legendary sense of humour on earth, apparently, we must never mock them.
No, that's right, though. No. So, no, all right, so you got a Scouse. Hey.
And he just said the strangest thing to me. Because this was at the point, the morning of the England-Spain women's game. That would have been a quarter final, right?
Yes, yeah.
And he came up to me. I hadn't said a word to him. Apropos of nothing, he says to me, this is an opening sentence to a stranger.
Right,
he says, I tell you what, those girls tonight are going to show those men from 66 how it was done. And
there's a lot to unpack there.
Isn't there?
What
a bizarre... by the way, I did resist the accent. At least I've grown.
Calm down.
I thought that makes I mean, it took me a minute to realise he's talking about the women's football.
Yeah.
Because I've been paying very little attention to it, as I've said.
Yes.
So then the penny dropped. I thought, oh, okay, he's talking about the football. And then I thought, hang on a minute. That makes no sense, because this is a quarter final.
Yes.
And they're going to show the men of 66 how it's done. The men of 66 won and won a final.
I don't understand that statement at all. Were you not tempted to ask more questions there?
No. As we've established, I'm very well trained by our previous employment. I know never to question a Scouser, take them at face value. He must have been making sense. It was me who wasn't understanding.
With the danger of upsetting any Scouse listeners even more. I do find that Scousers sometimes speak in weird riddles anyway. I mean, there are times you see a Scouse on the telly and they'll say something. What the fuck does that mean?
I would like to point out that this week alone, I was actually celebrating the success of a Scouser, Paddy the Baddy Pimlet. You don't watch the UFC, do you? Fighting Scouser. He did a very good job. He won.
Oh, I did see...
Paddy the Baddy.
I did. This was a Scouser. I don't know who she is. She's a female UFC fighter.
Yeah, I think I know who it is.
Do you know who it is?
This is just backpedaling at this point, isn't it?
But no, but she was brilliant, because she started a chant in the stadium of fuck the Tories, and everybody in the whole stadium joined in. I think this was live on telly as well. Credit where it's due. I saw earlier, because we're going to host the Eurovision Song Contest next year.
Yes. I'm assuming that's because we came second, right?
It's because we came second and it can't be held in Ukraine. So it's still going to be kind of a very Ukrainian-themed event, but it's just going to be held here in the UK. And I saw the mayor of Liverpool earlier. And he was going, you know what? I feel it should be held in Liverpool because, you know, no one's had more number ones like what we have had, you know. We're the city of music culture. Yeah, all right, mate, yeah. Yeah, I mean, just, you had the Beatles. We'll give you that.
But isn't that strange?
The Beatles and Cilla Black. hey, we have more than that, like, you know.
It's all very right, strange to take...
I mean, I'm pushing all the buttons.
I know. We're going to be... cancelled in Liverpool. We'll be as popular as the Sun newspaper in Liverpool after this. But it's strange to think that the city would claim that they've had most number ones. I mean, you and I have been Londoners in our time, and I don't take credit for the most. You know, I don't think of London having number ones because someone had a hit in London. What? That doesn't make any sense.
I know. I mean. I'd be interested to look at this factually and see whether he's correct, whether more Scousers have had number ones than any other sort of resident of another UK city.
By the way, you forgot Ken Dodd when you were listing Liverpool legends.
Jerry Marsden, he had number one. Now I'm just going to find... I mean, Ken Dodd, he was a legend, wasn't he?
Do you think
Did he have a number
happiness.
One? Was that a number one?
Oh, I don't know if it was number one.
I'm going to look up now as happiness... number one.
Now, what we've done is we have dug ourselves a hole here.
I've not dug myself a hole. I've made it very clear.
You've dug more of a hole than I have with the accent.
Yeah, but you're trying to get out of it. I'm quite happily sitting in the hole. Just, you know, if I've upset a few Scousers. Well, because are you telling me that Scousers won't do like a really bad Cockney accent and go, oi, 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 seven, oi, oi, Cockney, governor? And then I should be really upset by that. I mean, just, you know... horses for courses, and are you telling me that no Scouse has ever done a really bad London accent and stereotyped a Londoner, and I would not, you know, and I'd be supposedly very offended by that? I don't
know. No, but the Cockneys, we tend to be able to laugh at ourselves, whereas, you know, previous people we've worked for have instructed us. I don't think this was the point he was trying to make, but apparently Scousers can't. apparently, I've also heard from the same person that Harry Enfield is persona non grata in Liverpool.
Well, it's because it's the calm down thing that's the upsetting
thing. The Scousers sketch he did, yeah.
Yeah, that's why everyone goes, calm down. People, they didn't like that. They didn't like
right.
that, apparently. Yeah.
Now, what's happening is I'm trying to turn the ship and you are fighting me at the helm.
Are you trying to turn the yellow submarine?
Nice.
Happiness got to number 31.
Oh, Jesus.
No, indeed, number one.
Trev, often I go through the news websites looking for the stranger stories.
Mm-hmm, yes.
I found one.
Oh, okay. Go on.
Vicar caught in flagrante with Henry the Hoover carried on after being seen.
Ooh.
74-year-old vicar.
Did Henry still have a smile on his face, or was that more grimace at this point?
He was caught by a churchgoer, so...
Oh, I mean, that's the worst as well. I mean, you wouldn't want it to be one of your flock, would you, catching you? If it was like a just a passerby who's not part of the congregation, you could probably get away with it. But one of the flock, because I know churchgoers, that's not staying a secret. It's a shame don't spread gossip's not one of the commandments. Because in a church, it spreads like wildfire.
But you can only assume that means, because this person turned up to give a talk, and they discovered Vicar.
So he was expecting a visitor.
No, I don't get that impression from the article. I'll spare his name. You can find it if you want to, but I'll spare his name. Wearing nothing but a pair of lady stockings. And he was in his stockings, nothing else. And he was basically enjoying the Hoover's function.
Was it on
say.
Suck or blow?
Well, it's funny you ask about was it on suction or blow?
Because here's a question. Sorry, just to throw in another question. This is a more practical question, and I don't want to take away from the story. But I don't think any Hoover I've ever owned has actually got a blow function on it. I mean, they're all fully just suck only. I'm only talking from a hoovering
of course you are,
point yes. of view. It's not like I'm trying to find a blow function. I'm just saying that I've never seen a button or a functionality for that on any vacuum cleaner I've ever owned.
Well, it's an interesting observation. I'll keep an eye out.
Yeah, if you can let me know one that's got both, because I do need to get a more qualified hoover for the job.
What I do love about this article is there's two things in it which really made me laugh. One of them was how at some point it sort of wanders into an advert for the Henry Hoover. The journalist, he put this paragraph in the article. They said that even though he saw them, he continued pushing his groin towards the Henry, famous for its relentless and powerful suction.
Well, I mean, is it as famous as a Dyson? I reckon a Dyson suction is... He's more stronger than a Henry, but it's a nice thing to, it's a good to note that down. If you're looking for a new Hoover, we now know the Henry has a, it's famed for its, what's the wording?
It's, the wording is famous for its relentless and powerful suction.
Relentless. I like the word relentless. Okay, so the vicar is enjoying the relentless and powerful suction of the Henry at this point.
Yes, and the other line I particularly enjoyed was he was found guilty of this crime because it somehow...
What's a crime?
Well, this is... I was going to get to that. I'll come to that in a second.
Okay.
But I love this line.
Because God, I better be careful.
Finding him guilty, a magistrate said, "Why you thought it was best to bring this matter to trial, I have no idea."
Wow.
Isn't that brilliant?
So what's the crime? Is it because someone saw him? It was like indecent exposure?
Well, that's the thing.
Because was he exposed? I mean,
I'm assuming he was covered.
What was I going to say?
Without going into too much graphic detail, I'm assuming the critical bits were elsewhere. But he told police that he did it because he felt, in quotes, naughty. Oh. I bet he did. And he had to pay £845.
Wow.
And here's the bit. Now, I don't want to sympathise with a sex offender, but he
I
was...
I wouldn't call him a sex offender. I mean...
But you say that. That's where I'm going with this.
Right.
He has been ordered to sign the sex offenders register.
I mean, I keep forgetting that there was another party.
Well, somebody walked in on
here.
Him.
Right.
Somebody walked in on him.
But, I mean, they must have...
They've been given 200 quid in compensation.
But why didn't they go out? I mean, how long have they stood and watched this act carrying on? Because if I walked in, I'll be honest, if I walked in with someone who's enjoying a private moment with a Hoover in some stockings, I'd shut the door and say, "I'll come back later." I'd leave them to whatever, you know, it's a free world, whatever you... And I don't think that Henry, just because he's got a name, isn't a person.
Well, I did read some of the comments under this news article, and one of them said, "Why has he been ordered to sign the sex offenders register? There's only one victim here, and by the looks of it, Henry looked pretty happy about the whole thing."
I want to know if Henrietta knew. Was there a Henrietta sort of in the cupboard somewhere?
That's the pink one, isn't it?
Cheating going on. I think that's the Mrs. Hoover.
Is that the one you use for dog hair?
Is it for dog hair?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think it does have a separate
function.
Ideal. Yes, yeah. But I think she'd have been horrified.
Henry
but...
for sex acts. Henrietta for dog hair.
So, I mean, I feel a bit weird about this sentence, but I do feel making him a registered sex offender is a bit strong. I get it that no one should walk into a church and be presented with that image, but it's a bit strong, is it not?
I think so. If he was... I mean, perhaps it's because it's a public building. Maybe that's the thing that's taken it beyond a kind of weird act in your own private house. Because, I mean, if he was out in the street doing it, fair enough, you know? But
well, you could argue that the church is open to the public.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Someone
yeah.
did walk in. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to know where the boundary is, isn't it?
I like to think... I'm not calling the victim of this, you know, anything, but I'm just thinking, like, very much like you, that if I'd walked in, I'd have thought, okay, that's unusual. I'll come back. I'll give it 10 minutes. 5 minutes.
Depends on how powerful the suction is, I suppose.
It's relentless.
Relentless. 2 minutes.
But I don't know if I'd be the sort of person who would have thought, I need to make this a police matter.
No, I mean, at the very least, you might go to the bishop. But to go to the police seems a little extreme.
Yeah, I mean, who knows?
Hoover knows. He was there. Was he called as a witness? Was Henry asked to go on the stand? Well, nobody wants to touch it now, though, do they?
Who has to clean that thing now?
I'd imagine that's been thrown out. And, I mean, even worse, if it was a Dyson, you wouldn't want to see anything just floating around in that sort of transparent cyclone.
Jesus. God, there's an image I can't get out of my head. Thank you. Mind you, I imagine Henry said the same thing. I hope no one ever sort of cuts up this podcast and sort of puts excerpts of it online that, you know, just, yeah, we're sympathising with sex offenders.
Now, does it say, has he been removed from his position? Because has this cost him his career as well as his dignity and his pride? Because you've spared the indignity of his name being broadcast via this podcast.
I have.
But his name presumably is everywhere. So yes, he's got that to live with now. He surely can't face his congregation again. Imagine getting up in the pulpit on the Sunday after and having to give a sermon when all people are thinking is, I wonder if he's going to go and see Henry after this.
Well, he's 74. And I think at this point, I think call it retirement, because you aren't coming back from this. You just can't. I mean, how can you ever be taken seriously or literally preach to other people? And you just can't. It's
what
game
about
over.
The notion of forgiveness?
I wonder if that was his very next sermon. The wonderful power of forgiveness.
Yeah. Let's say, for example, you
the wonderful and relentless power of forgiveness.
You've walked in on someone in a compromising position with a household appliance, and I would suggest forgiveness of that person would be top of the agenda. Not going to the police, you bunch of turncoats.
No one likes a snitch.
Judases. I'll tell you what we haven't done for quite a while, Ben, and it's always a popular part of the podcast when we do it.
Go on.
So I'm led to believe by our legions of fans. Is random questions.
Random questions, okay.
So I thought we could do a few more random questions this week.
I'm game.
Okay, let's start with this one. What's the best smell? Smells are interesting because they can bring back memories, can't they? Like a smell can instantly transport you to a moment in time.
Yeah, that is true. Music and smell memory do the same thing at the same time. That is very true. I thought of two things straight away.
Okay, go on.
Oh, they're both food related though.
Okay.
One of them is the smell of a charcoal barbecue.
Yeah, nice.
And the other one, I mean, it's a classic for a reason. Frying bacon.
Frying bacon.
Not you going to bed.
But, no.
You know, proper frying bacon.
I mean, bacon is, it's a wonderful smell, bacon, isn't it? There's a little cafe just a few yards up from my house. And in the summer when I've got the windows open, at about 11 o'clock in the morning, there's a very powerful smell of bacon that comes wafting into my house. And it's kind of a double-edged sword because there's a wonderful moment you go, ooh, it's bacon, and then you have got to fight the urge to want a bacon sandwich.
I've heard recently that the famous they say, I know that's bollocks, but they say that the biggest reason vegetarians come back to meat is because of bacon.
I think that's probably true because it's such an inviting smell. Now, I've never cooked any of this bacon stuff yet. And I wonder if that has can that provide a similar smell?
I sincerely doubt it.
Because it's a very distinctive smell, the bacon smell, isn't it?
I would try bacon, but I wouldn't hold out much hope for it, but I'd happily try it.
Have you tried any fake meats?
Well, you're forgetting our radio days when we did the vegan sausage roll from Greg's.
Oh, we did, yes. And that wasn't too bad, actually, was it?
No, Piers Morgan went on the telly on GMB or whatever it was called, and he made such a song and dance of how revolting it was and how he was gagging and wanting to throw up. And we tried
it. The rest of us were gagging and throwing up just by watching him on the telly.
We tried it. It was basically fine. It was actually pretty good. It just wasn't as good as a proper sausage roll if you're a fan of meat.
Yeah, I don't remember there being that much difference, though.
Oh, no, you could tell. I could tell, but it wasn't as good, but it certainly wasn't as terrible as Piers was trying to pretend it was.
Yeah. I mean, I think the smell of a roast dinner is, if we're staying on dinner, I mean...
Strong contender.
Just, I don't know what it is, particularly the smell of a Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, that is a hard one to beat.
I mean, other than foodstuffs, I do like, I mean, even though I'm not a smoker, I do like the smell of a cigar.
That, I mean, as an ex-smoker, I mean, like I said earlier on, I am a vapist, but I can occasionally get the whiff of someone's cigarette and think, oh, that's nice, which you might have thought would be the opposite.
Yeah.
From a quitter. No, it's quitter today, but you kind of have to. Yeah. But... Yeah, I do like the odd whiff of nicotine now and again.
Yeah, no, it's something about a cigar, though. It's a very, such a pungent smell, but it's sort of a cigarette to me isn't a pleasant smell, but a cigar is. I don't know whether it's the leaves it's wrapped in, or I don't really know what's in a cigar. I mean, obviously it's tobacco. Is it just it's wrapped in different leaves? Is that what a cigar is? I don't really know.
I don't know how they make them. No, I've already made a fool of myself once in this podcast, or multiple times, so I'm not going to do it again.
The other smell, which I say I like, but it doesn't sort of make me sneeze a lot, is that smell of freshly cut grass.
Ah, now I have the opposite reaction of that, because I used to work as a gardener for a while, and whilst I agree the smell of a freshly cut lawn, it's very nice, the smell of a white van in the heat of summer with decomposing grass in the back of it.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Would that be your worst smell? If bacon's your best smell, what's your worst smell?
Worst smell.
I mean, let's take out all the obvious things for worst smell here.
The toilet humour. Okay.
Yeah, let's remove that from it.
You know what has always kind of surprised me is how... Bins all smell the same.
Well, it's just rotting stuff, isn't it?
Yes, but why should the smell be so uniform? Because you're putting different rubbish in different... No one's two bins are the same, yet they all smell the same.
They do. And, I mean, when the dust cart, especially on a warm day, if the dust cart passes you, that smells in your nose and throat for a good hour or so, isn't it?
There is one day a week at work when the bin men come where I have to deliver to, and I try and reorganise my day, because if I get it wrong, I end up following the bin around, and that smell sticks up your nose. It's horrible.
I'd say the worst smell that I think I can remember...
Go on.
..is a dead rat under the floorboards.
Oh, my God. You just reminded me of the time I found a dead rat. Can I ask you what it smelled like? Because I have a very one-word answer for what mine smelled like.
Well, because when I first smelled it, I didn't know what it was. I thought it might have been like some rotting veg somewhere.
Interesting.
But as the smell... I mean, I now recognise the smell, because as I've had mice in the house and I've caught them in the past, or that one's died somewhere and you've got to try and find it, it's not quite as bad with a mouse, but it's still very pungent. I don't know if I can liken it to anything else. It's just the smell of death. Piss. Right.
This thing reeked, and it was so, I don't know, ammonia... piss heavy. Oh my God. And I, despite what you and probably all of our legions of listeners and fans think, I'm not quite the man's man that I come across as. I'm a bit of a wimp,
Ben, because you normally come across as so macho.
So me having to deal with a dead rat, it was not a nice experience.
No.
I had to pick it up with a litter picker, its tail locked over the side of the carrier bag. I flinched and was, I think, not only that, I could see Mrs. Ben watching me try and deal with this and thinking, this is the man I married, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, the whole thing was humiliating and stunk. I
found one dead in my garden once. I had to do this. I had to pick it up with a shovel and hold it at arm's length and drop it into a black sack and then pick the black sack up with a litter picker and pop that in another black sack. So it was double sacked. Because I think you're supposed to double sack a rodent if you're going to put it into the bin. And this was in the summer, and the binman had just been. So it was sitting in my bin, the wheelie bin out the front, for a week in the summer.
Yikes.
And by the time bin night came, and I had to put the normal rubbish into the bin, I lifted the lid of that wheelie bin. It was horrendous. And flies all flying. How were there flies and maggots getting in there into the wheelie bin when it's shut? Because the number of flies.
There are flies on everything.
Oh.
There are flies on everything.
So I think that's the worst smell.
Now, this might say more about me than it does you, but was there a part of you that was at least for a second tempted, whilst you had that rat on the end of the shovel, to just fling it over the neighbour's fence?
No. Why would you do that?
Because then it's not my problem anymore.
But then it's their problem.
Exactly. Which is better than it being my problem.
Yes, I'll say to my 90-year-old neighbour, oh, yeah, sorry about that. I just thought I'd make it your problem. You deal with the dead rat. Oh, Ben. It's an awful thing to do. Let's do another question. What was your first computer game? Obviously, you're a big gamer, so I'm assuming you started quite young with your gaming obsession.
Good grief. I couldn't hand on heart tell you honestly which one it was. Early contenders would be Mortal Kombat, Day of the Tentacle. They'd be Mario Go Fish. That's a very old DOS game. There's lots of very old ones I remember. Duke Nukem 3D.
And what
this
were these
means
on?
Nothing to you, does it?
Not really. What were their format? Or I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. What thing were they played on?
I know what you mean.
What box did you have to play this thing on?
A lot of them were introduced to me. I used to go around to the next door neighbour's house, and his dad was quite computer savvy in the early days. So there was PC, all MS-DOS games. I don't really know how.
On a computer?
On a PC.
On a PC, I see, right.
What about you? What was your first?
Well, I think my first was Space Invaders on a computer. It had like a little, well, I say little, it was a fairly big cartridge they used to put in the side of the computer. It was made by Texas Instruments. And my grandparents had this computer, or it might have been my aunt's computer who lived there at the time, I can't remember. But they had Space Invaders on that. So I remember probably that being the first game I ever played.
Quite a boring game.
Yeah, but at the time it wasn't. I mean, I do remember Pong. Is it Pong?
Pong was like the original game, wasn't
it? Yeah, my
it?
Dad had that on a thing. I think it was called like the Grandstand. It was the proper thing where you just had two knobs that you turned. I remember playing that at home. So then maybe that was my first computer game, actually. And then, obviously, then I moved on to the Spectrum. I think Paperboy might have been the first game I played on that.
That's pretty good from a vintage point of view. Yeah, I should probably go back and play Paperboy. I don't think I ever really played it.
I mean, I don't know how good it would be now.
No, it'd be terrible.
At the time, it was
great.
I'd
like to give it a go.
Do you want to do one more question?
One more.
What's the weirdest thing you've ever eaten? Now, I think I know the answer you're going to give here.
Do you? Because I'm not sure I know the answer I'm going to give here.
Well, I remember you telling me a story about you eating some weird cheese.
Oh, God, I did eat some weird cheese once.
But you don't know what this cheese was, do you?
No. What I do know was we went round for dinner at someone's house, and they suggested, shall we bring out the cheese?
Yeah.
Which sounded like a euphemism for something, so I was already on edge. And then I was even more nervous when someone went to fetch the cheese, not from the fridge or the kitchen, but from the garden shed.
You know, see, at this point, I wouldn't be worried about them saying, shall we bring out the cheese? I think the moment they're suggesting going to the shed, that's when I start to think this is some weird fetish thing going on.
So I sort of questioned, and this wasn't, you have to bear in mind when I tell this story, this wasn't like close friends of mine or anything. This was, I was Mrs. Ben's boyfriend at the time, and right. I had been taken along to her parents' friend's house.
Right.
So there are steps removed here, right?
There's a lot riding on it. You're there to impress.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they return from the shed with this cheese and the smell of it. I mean, I was talking earlier on about what's the worst smell you ever smelled. I think I had emotionally blanked out this cheese. You asked the worst smell I've ever smelled. That cheese was the smell. And they said, oh, yes, we know it's rather pungent. That's why we keep it in the shed.
What can you liken the smell to?
Death.
Right, so was it worse than the... Was it like
no,
a dead rat?
No, that's not even fair. That isn't even fair. I have handled... this is going to be a long story if you ask me to explain this. I've handled multiple dead bodies in my time. This cheese smelt worse than the stench of death.
Wow.
I hand on my heart.
I've just looked up what is regarded as the world's smelliest cheese.
Right.
And there's a cheese called, I don't quite know how to say this, but Epoisse de Bourgogne, something like that. And that is aged for 6 weeks in brine and brandy. It's so pungent that it's banned on French public transport.
Now, they assured me this tastes brilliant. We admit it smells bad. It tastes brilliant. Now, bear in mind, I'm in the company of my girlfriend at the time, her parents, and I'm at her parents' friend's house.
And is this a special occasion, or is this just a normal sort of dinner party you've just been brought along, or was this like a birthday thing for someone?
I don't remember it being a special occasion, but it was certainly an occasion where you don't want to show yourself up as, a nuisance. And they lied. I tried some of this, and it was awful. It was the worst thing. It tasted as bad as it smelled. And one thing I can't do is I cannot vomit discreetly. Some people can. I cannot. I go and basically have a screaming match with the toilet.
Right.
It's impossible to hide. And I did that in... I just took a mouthful, retched, got up, left the table, went straight into their toilet, which was in the adjoining, like, out the kitchen, into the hall. There's the downstairs bathroom. And I just heaved and made such a scene of myself.
Oh.
And I actually thought... I'm not even embarrassed at this point.
Right.
This isn't... You did this to me. If what has happened now is there's an embarrassing scene at the table, I'm not to blame for this anymore because you have just put that in my mouth.
Well, no,
you're to blame,
you chose
not me.
To put it in your mouth. Could you not have said, I'm very sorry, but I don't mean to be impolite, but I don't think I'm going to like this cheese.
You... What... world do British people go to each other's houses and say, I'm sorry, your food looks repulsive, I'm not going to eat it.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to eat that cheese that's come from your shed.
It was so weird.
Good answer. What was the texture like?
Sloppy.
Sloppy?
Yeah. It was almost like somehow, and again, alarm bells should have been going off. Why has this cheese come out of a shed in the garden? Why is it, and it was at night time, why is it sort of seemingly already melted? It was a disaster. I honestly wish you hadn't reminded me of that. I had forgot that, but thanks for that.
I mean, it is amazing, you know, what some people eat, isn't it? You know, I mean, there's all this thing like in the sort of Nordic world where they have sort of all this fermented fish and fermented... I was listening to the other day and someone was talking about having tasted this, I think it's some sort of shark in, I think it might have been in Finland. And you can't actually eat this shark when you've caught it because it has certain toxins in it.
Okay.
So it has to be buried. It's buried underground for a certain length of time. So it basically decomposes and rots. And then after that period of time, they dig it up and then just slice bits off it and eat it. And again, like, I would think if I was in that situation, I mean, there'd be a part of me that would be curious and think, should I try it? But I think this thing's rotting. It's been in the ground. They've dug up a corpse.
Yes.
I'm not going to eat
that. That's exactly what's happened. Yeah.
I don't want to be touching that. They sell that fermented fish in cans. It's quite expensive. I forget what it's called, but it's quite expensive to buy. And I say, I don't know why anyone... But then it is a delicacy. If you've grown up with it and it's your... It's a cultural food, then it's probably very nice.
No, you still need to have self-awareness. I mean, as...
But there must be stuff we eat.
There's
like,
there are.
Like haggis, for example. Have you ever eaten haggis?
I haven't eaten haggis.
I mean, I couldn't stand it.
I have worked at a radio station with our... I love him dearly, our good friend Jack Edwards, who... just as normal as you like it was opening up a chocolate bar, would open up a tin of mackerel a foot away from you, as if it was just the done thing. And it just astounded me. Like, how are you not aware of other people in the room and the smell of that?
But that's just mackerel. I mean, that's not even... That's just a normal fish. I wouldn't necessarily have an issue with that. It's when you've got a fermented sort of rotting thing. But like I say, it's whatever people want to eat, really, isn't it? But I think the weirdest thing I've ever tried was snails. I mean, I didn't see the point in it, to be honest. There was no... taste of them at all, which is, I guess, why you just smother them in garlic butter to give them some sort of taste. But yeah, I didn't see the point of them. I had a couple and thought, I can tick that off my list. I can say I tried them, but not for me.
For me, snails seems like something that's stuck around for too long. You know, like it might have been something that was... you know, something that they used to eat years ago before they could work out how to get the better meats. And then when they did work that all out, they just sort of, for some reason, out of tradition, kept the snails.
Yeah.
Nah.
But then, again, people like it. I mean, I've never eaten them. I never want to touch oysters. You know, people see that as like this amazing sort of food that you have as a, you know, it's like one of those... like on a posh thing, you know, it's like the height of a dining experience, isn't it? You know, champagne and oysters. I couldn't think of anything worse than having like this slimy thing. I mean, it could be lovely. I've never had one, but the idea of it, it just puts me off entirely. I mean, I sort of think anything in a shell, I'm not really interested in.
I mean, I forget the word now. Isn't it supposed to be one of those foods that puts you in the mood?
Well, an aphrodisiac.
Aphrodisiac.
Oysters are supposed to be. I mean, I'll be honest with you. If I was given an oyster, not even Henry the Hoover could get me in the mood of that. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, got a few recommendations for you if you're looking for something to wind away the hours before death ultimately comes. So I've got a series and a film to recommend this week, Ben.
Okay.
The Undeclared War, which has been on Channel 4. I think there's still two episodes to go out on Channel 4, but they're all available on all four. It's got Simon Pegg in it, and it's about sort of a cyber attack by the Russians on the UK. Very good, very compelling, and six episodes went by really quickly. You know, it's like some episodes of dramas, you sort of feel like it's dragging a little bit. Didn't feel like that at all. And it's not even a fast-moving drama, but it just, there's enough to keep you going. Very, very good.
Excellent. And what's the other one?
The other film I'm going to recommend, more your genre, actually. Ooh. Ben, a horror film. Don't Breathe 2.
Now, this is about the blind guy, isn't it?
Yeah, so Don't Breathe, the first one, is from memory. It's a long time since I'd seen the first one, but I think people break into his house.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And then he turns on them. And the second one, there's another story running, and I can't remember whether that story kicks off in number one or not, but it is a very good film. I did enjoy it, because horror's not my sort of normal genre to go to, but it was very good. Really enjoyed it. It is pretty gory, though. So if you horror's like,
I don't mind that at all.
I know you don't mind that at all, do you? Like a bit of blood and guts all over the place. But no, well worth a watch. I think that's on. You've got to buy it at the moment. You can't rent it, or I certainly couldn't find it to rent. So you have to buy it on Amazon Prime.
Okay, I might give that a go, because I have seen the original. I might have to refresh my memory on it, but I have seen it. It was good. I'm going to recommend the film Joker this week.
What a film.
I saw it the other day, and I'm not exaggerating. It is one of the best films I've ever seen. Joaquin Phoenix, Jesus, I can't begin to praise that guy enough. His acting performance was astounding.
I mean, he's
so good.
He outdoes Heath Ledger on the Joker front. Heath Ledger was fantastic as the Joker, of course won a posthumous Oscar for his performance in that, but I think Joaquin Phoenix takes it to an even higher level.
It was so good, and I would say, if you're the sort of person who thinks, oh, you know, I don't like all the superhero movies, and don't worry about it, it's you can watch this. If you're not keen on the superhero stuff, there has to obviously be a couple of Batman references thrown in throughout, but it's really not a superhero film. It's really, really good.
It's quite, from memory, it's quite a long film, because I know you don't normally do long films, so it must keep you going.
I was a little bit nervous, because, like, you are correct, I think if a story takes longer than 90 minutes to tell, it isn't worth telling. 2 hours for the Joker.
That's not too bad. That's all right.
Sorry, I should say it's not the Joker, it's just Joker.
Because I'm quite interested to watch the latest Batman film. Is it just called The Batman? And it's supposed to be amazing. Like, everyone I know that's seen it, because I like my Batman. I've always been a Batman fan. But it's about, I don't know if it's quite 3 hours, but that does put me off a little bit.
That's too long. For a Batman film, you know what you're getting into. You want to... 2 hours max for a Batman film.
But then when I watch it, when I eventually get around to watching it and I come and recommend that film, I might end up arguing against you. I know what you mean. There's a thing about, I don't know if I really want to... In fact, I was talking to someone about this recently. I said, it's a weird thing, because I see the length of a film and think, I don't know if I want to get into like 3 hours of a movie. It's too long, even 2.5 hours.
We even, because of my annoyance about films that go on for nothing, more than 90 minutes. I'm a delight to live with, by the way.
It sounds it. Really setting is, it should the relationship with Mrs. Should she decide to kick your bony ass out? You've sold yourself. There'll be enough takers, Ben. Don't you worry.
She did say, you know, if you want, we can watch this an hour today and an hour tomorrow. But there was no question of that by the time we were 30.
No, I think if it's a film, you've got to see it through in one go.
And I really do mean it. I'm not a fan of superhero films, really. I will never be caught watching Captain Universal, you know, Mr. Planet, or whoever they are.
I don't think you got one of them right, but good. But anyway.
But this is a really good one. The other one I wanted to recommend this week, I have to give full credit to my friend Andy, who recommended this to me. It's a series called The Food That Built America.
The Food That Built America.
And it's on the History Channel, which you can find if you have I find it through the Sky box. Just search on demand and it's there. It's really interesting. What annoyed me, though, is it seems like something that you'd recommend. Some
yeah, it does.
Documentary series. And the first episode I've watched was all about the chocolate battle between the Hershey Company and Reese's Pieces and stuff.
Right. So when you said the food that built America, I was thinking, like, they're going to talk about the food from history, like, you know, the first dwellers to America, like, I don't know, they were hunting bison to survive. But no, it's the chocolate war.
Yeah. So there's many episodes of, like, how Pizza Hut almost bought out Domino's and
so it's the food that built capitalist America is the proper title of this series.
Well, I'll just give you this synopsis for the episode that I watched, which I really enjoyed.
Please do.
In 1919, Milton Hershey is king of the chocolate business. But everything changes when a post-World War I sugar price drop, a rush of competitors spring up.
Wow.
So, I probably haven't done it justice, but
I do
it's
like
really
this.
Interesting.
It does sound interesting, babe.
History Channel, The Food That Built America.
And
give
I probably will give it a go.
I know you will, because it's exactly the weird sort of stuff that you'd recommend.
There we are, that's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget...
What? Sorry to interrupt, Trev. I can't end the podcast without mentioning this. But closing some of my tabs here, because it's the end of the podcast, and I've noticed more for you stories being recommended to me now on my news page.
Okay.
Vicar hospitalised with potato up his bum.
Oh, that's got to be a sin. Surely that's got to be a sin. Well,
is my news feed now. Thank
this
you.
Is your news feed. Vicars and objects inserted in them. That's where you're heading now. So, well, we might learn more about that next week.
So, I know where they're heading.
If you want to get in touch with us, we're at Trevor Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.